Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
I was almost surprised when Taylor's hand was raised at the end because you could feel Serrano coming on strong. Katie Taylor was a very much more of a clear winner.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
Very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koigig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here, reporting live from the press conference room where we've just heard from Eileen Gleeson and Denise O'Sullivan ahead of tomorrow's crunch match against Wales. Forgive me if I say anything stupid during this podcast, because anyone who's watching will see the bags under my eyes. I got the red eye over to Cardiff this morning, so I've had about 2 hours of sleep. So if I misquote someone or misname someone, that is the reason why. But to keep me on the straight and narrow, I have a full complement of very talented people. I am joined by Shamrock Rovers, Scarlett Heron, Ireland international Jamie Finn, and of course, my co-captain throughout this Koigig journey, Miss Karen Duggett. How are we all?
Good. I'm excited. Big week.
Yeah, it's interesting listening to Denise and Eileen chatting there, because there is definitely a sense of, you know, What do you ask when you're at this stage? You know, we're so close. The only big news out of today was probably confirmation that Aoife Mannion's not in the squad anymore, which everyone kind of suspected anyways over the last week, despite what Eileen had said at the squad announcement. But, you know, they haven't been in camp all that long. They've only had a couple of days. There's all the work is kind of done at this stage, Jamie. Is that fair to say? You know, like you're kind of just holding on out for that match. I mean, you were saying before the pain of trying to wait around for an 8 o'clock kickoff, well, quarter to eight in this case.
Yeah, you're right. I'd say, like, from experience being in that camp, everything's done now. They would have had their last training session done and over with. So it's just about mentally preparing for tomorrow. But listen, I'd say they are also excited. It's a position we want to be in as a nation. We want to be in this position to qualify for the Euros. So yeah, I'd say they're going to go to bed tonight excited.
Karen, Denise was saying that when you compare this to Scotland and how she felt going into that game, she feels way more relaxed. She feels a lot happier. She kind of, I know you can only know so much, but we've had that experience now of a positive playoff, and that game was away as well. So we have that experience going into tomorrow. How do you think we are set up for this game?
Yeah, I actually think that's interesting because before Scotland, obviously, it was the World Cup. So it was the harder one to reach. We hadn't reached a major tournament before. Whereas now there's more expectation on the team. You know, obviously the last Euros was like, it was so disappointing. And now we're expected to qualify. It's a different mind frame, but it's good that Denise is excited and they're seeing this as, you know, something to look forward to rather than letting any expectation weigh on them heavily. I think we're pretty well fixed. I think the fact this is probably apart from Aoife Mannion, the most players Eileen has had for selection. Jess Sue is obviously the major one, but outside of her and Aoife Mannion, you know, this is and obviously Jamie, and this is as strong as it can be. So the biggest headache really is the team selection, you know, because you are going to change that back line that we saw kind of coming to the fore that we thought would be the back line going forward. So that's what I'm most interested to see. I think effectively we should win, just based on form, based on the experience that we've had through Group A. But look, anything can happen in a playoff. But yeah, I'm along Denise's line. I feel excited for it. I do feel like there's a good energy around the place, and I think they're going to do the business.
Well, she's made the big claim. We're only a couple of minutes into the podcast and she said it. I wish I could feel excited. I'm just still not in that place. I think a bit like yourself, Karen, once I actually see what the formation is like tomorrow, how we manage to, you know, control, say, Jess Fishlock and those sort of players and what our tactics are, then I feel like I might feel a little bit more comfortable. Even if tomorrow is a bit nip and tuck and tight, which I expect it probably will be, because I don't think either team will want to go into the second game with a massive deficit there. And also there is the thing of,
I don't think there will be a massive discipline. Deficit, because I think on each side we're not exactly huge on firepower. You know, obviously we put up huge score lines against Georgia, but that's to be expected. But if you're looking at prolific strikers, I think our goals tend to be scattered around.
Yeah, they don't really exist in this. Well, I suppose Julianne a little bit more over the last couple of months has come into that role. But yeah. Scarlett, Rhianne Wilkinson is chatting properly to the media in a couple of hours' time. But during the week, she was kind of saying that, you know, this Ireland team is very beatable, and that, and Eileen's response to that was basically, you know, I don't care what she says, I'm not listening to this. But also Wales seemed quite comfortable to let Ireland take the favourites tag going into this game. Even though Rhianne is saying that, they seem to be quite happy to sit back and be like, yep, all the pressure's on Ireland. They're the better team on paper. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think like maybe against Slovakia, Wales went in as probably the favourites and that didn't really go their way, especially in the first leg. I think we saw a lot of Wales' weaknesses come to the forefront in that game. Obviously, they had a really good campaign in the before that in Group B, in the Nations League in the B. But obviously, it probably took it for granted what Slovakia would do and how they'd line up. So I'd say they're trying to flip that on us. Maybe they're thinking that we'll underestimate them. Obviously, they have not been to a major tournament and maybe they're a few years behind us in terms of development. I'd say we're quite evenly matched. But I'd say I was listening to a Welsh side of a podcast during the week there, and they seem to be happy enough from their point of view, from their media, to let us have the ball and sort of let us control the game and maybe hit us out wide with the likes of Jess Fishlock or Kerry Holland in midfield. So yeah, I think it's we're in no place to underestimate them, and as well as that, maybe coming in as the favourites is a bit different to us now after obviously playing the likes of France and stuff. But I think it'll be no problem to the girls. Like, I think it's a huge game. It's obviously a massive opportunity, and I think as well the home leg in the second game is a huge advantage, because if we get a result tomorrow, whether it be a draw or a win, like, playing at home in the Aviva in front of a massive crowd with tickets are like flying out, like the team, the supporters, sorry, they'll get behind the team, and I think that they can turn that result. So I think any sort of result tomorrow is a positive, and then push everything into the second game.
Yeah. I understand where they're coming from though. Like, we haven't always, you know, set the world on fire when we have been allowed possession. And it has been in those games that we have struggled. We just hope that we've learned to become a bit more clinical and take our chances, which became limited during Group A, and that we've improved in those small areas from where we were prior to the World Cup. You know, we do struggle against the teams that are similar to us, but we kind of dispelled all that when we went through League B in the manner that we did. So I'm hoping that we're still on an upward trajectory. We haven't been given the opportunity to play a game like that in a while, and that's my only worry. And I do understand why Wales think there is an opportunity there, because, you know, at times when we have possession, we're not sure what to do with it, and we can leave ourselves exposed. But I think the occasion will mean that we are a little bit more cautious than we might have been if it's just a League B game. I think we'll know that in the first leg we need to be going into that with a point on the board, essentially.
Jamie, you've been in and around the squad, obviously, the most recently. Like, do you think we're at a stage where we can handle that sort of favourites tags? Even though I think most people on both sides would say that, you know, these sides are about as evenly matched as you're going to get.
Yeah, like, for me, I'm looking at, like, a player's point of view. I wouldn't really read into any of that. I wouldn't care about that at all. Like, as a player, I wouldn't even listen to that. Like, I think, like what Scarlett was saying, they obviously want to flip it on us to say that, yeah, we'll have more possession and we are obviously ranked that bit higher. So, yeah, you could say that they're trying to flip that on us. But for me as a player, I would not read into that at all. No way. That wouldn't be. And I think the rest of the girls would be the same. Like, your focus, your job tomorrow night is what the girls were saying is you need to at least get a point, bring it home to Tuesday and really go for it. And that's, you need to just really stay in this game tomorrow night, be defensively so sound and yeah, come out with the best possible result and go into Tuesday then.
How do you keep yourself in that sort of level-headed space then between now and tomorrow night? Because training's done, you know, you have that little bit of media attention around where, you know, we're talking about it, Eileen's out talking about it, Denise is talking about it. It's a long enough run-in.
Yeah, it is. And we were saying there, like, to have the game at 7:45, like, it's such a long day. And I remember actually the Scotland game was so similar. I think it was an 8 p.m. kickoff. And I just remember, like, saying to the girls, we're eating again. Like, we were so many meals just leading up to 8 o'clock. And then now the adrenaline then comes in. It's obviously there since the moment you wake up, but it's such a long kind of run into it. You just need to stay, like, focus in that, and obviously the backroom staff have that kind of nailed. You have like certain meeting times, certain things you have to do on certain times, and that keeps you like solely focused on the game. And listen, the girls are professional enough to be so focused on this major game.
And they had that too as well, to be fair, Karen, with the World Cup. You know, those games were all in the evening. I remember chatting to some of the players in the team hotel before the first game in Sydney, and, you know, Courtney talking about liking to go get a coffee and go for a walk and read her book, and, you know, different people had different ways of playing it. Some people liked to look at tactical setups. Other people were like, don't even want to think a game is happening. So we do have that on our side.
Yeah, I think at this level, like, yeah, if your Klopp will give out about 12 o'clock kickoff, and then you'll have people who prefer nighttime, people who prefer daytime. You're a professional athlete. You get on with it. Get up, get on. You know how to manage your food. You know how to manage your rest. They come into camp and like things have changed now. Like, you're very into the whole periodization and making sure that people, you know, they've all the heart rates and all this kind of stuff, they're very well looked after. So if someone says I need XYZ, it's going to be provided for them within the camp environment that they have now, and that's fantastic. So yeah, later kickoff, earlier kickoff shouldn't pay any impact. Late kickoffs tend to bring around like a bigger atmosphere, so hopefully that'll be the case. Hopefully it's not weather conditions and stuff like we saw United and Chelsea with the wind and stuff last week. We don't want another one of those kind of dour affairs. As much as we want Ireland to come away with something, we want it to be a bit of a spectacle and still show that Ireland are improving football wise and it's not like a game where we're playing off scraps like we were in League A. I really want us to give us something to get excited about going into the second leg and hopefully into the Euros then, because I think there's still enough time between now and the Euros for us to improve and potentially bring back players into the squad, bring in new players. I don't think whatever team goes out today will be what we'll see in the Euros, so we're still on that kind of journey with this team, so yeah, it's exciting.
That is exciting.
Yeah,
I personally like earlier kickoffs because it's better for my sleep schedule rather than the later
same
ones
press, but, you know, goals, but.
Yeah, exactly. Scarlett, Karen was mentioning earlier about, you know, being interested in seeing what that backline is going to look like. And you were saying about hearing from the Welsh perspective that they're happy to let us have the ball maybe a little bit more and use those wings. What are your expectations from tomorrow, formation wise, team wise, with the injuries that we've had over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, like, I think it'll be, I don't think Wales will be able to do much analysis because we've sort of changed our ways a lot in recent months. Obviously, we've had the opposition of like France and England, as I said, and you're playing obviously a back five up against them and sort of sitting in. And then when we play Georgia, it's obviously a lot more attacking, you know, four at the back sort of play. So I'd assume we're going with the same, maybe like a 4-3-3 sort of idea for tomorrow. Obviously, Wales won't really be able to, they'll be able to like sort of predict that, but they can't go out thinking that's exactly what we're going to do. And as well as that, the personnel has changed a lot. Obviously, like, Abby Larkin came and put her hand up in the last camp against Georgia, like Jess Stapleton as well, like the young players coming through. So it's going to be really interesting to see who Eileen trusts in these games. As well as that, like, it's two legs, it's a quick turnover, just the long weekend to recover. So I'd assume we'll see a few changes across the two legs, which is obviously brilliant. And then you have the Marisha Shiva as well, who came back in against Georgia and was brilliant. So despite a few niggles we have and a few injuries, a few players out, like, we have a very strong squad coming into this. And Eileen, I'd say, is still to this like moment scratching her head, thinking, right, okay, who's in, who's out? Like, what do I do here? You know, it'll be the flip of a coin for a lot of players because we have a lot of talent in there. And I think definitely enough to go and win the two games. So, yeah, it's a bit of a pain for Eileen, but a happy one at the same time.
Well, we want to be in a position where, you know, that is the sort of headache that she's having, because for so long we had very much a set starting 11 and it never really changed unless a change was forced on us because of either, say, a friendly game and playing the lower opposition or injuries of some sort. Jamie, of all that squad that's there, who do you think potentially could be the difference maker or the change maker over the next couple of days?
Yeah, difficult. I think going back to Scotland, like obviously Amber came on and scored that goal, but I think everyone was above average that night. And I think for us to qualify for the Euros, we need every single person to again be above average and give 7, 8, 10 performances out of 10. Like, I think obviously you could have that individual kind of bit of magic by someone, but I think to get over the line in this game, these two games, it's going to be a team performance. And again, it's going to be, it potentially could be someone coming off the bench too. So I think having played the stronger teams as well will kind of, it will kind of stick to our advantage, I do think. And then obviously being in the League B as well, like we scored a lot of goals as well, so that'll obviously kind of come into it, giving confidence to those players. But it's going to be an absolute squad effort for these two games. I don't think it's just, obviously, as I said, you could get an individual kind of bit of magic, but I do think to get over the line, it's going to be the whole squad, absolutely.
Yeah, and when you talk about like individual magic, it's usually plaudits go to the whoever scores and stuff like that. But where we really struggled against Wales in the friendly game at the start of the year was the gap between the back line and the midfield. So it's the person marshalling the back line, so whoever is the centre of that back three. And then if we're playing 1-6 or 2-6s, for me, that's going to be key, the relationship there and making sure we get that right, because that's where we really got exposed. We ended up dropping off and inviting pressure on. So we're hoping that we're going to be a little bit braver in terms of stepping up, given that we now have the likes of Anna Patton in there, you know, and possibly you're looking at maybe Heather coming back into that wing back position as well. So, and then maybe if you're going for maturity in centre mid, you might have Rusha and Lily Ag. So that's a key area of the pitch, I think, to get right and to improve on based on what we saw in the initial Wales game. And also it's an area that has seen a lot of different personnel in it. So we need that to have been worked on and we need that to click, because that's kind of the foundation. That's the launch pad that will allow Denise to kind of unleash, like, let the shackles off and go forward and kind of link up with Julianne and Kira, who we'd imagine would be the front pairs, because I think we can't leave them isolated. You know, their Wales are going to be strong enough the back. They're going to have their homework done on Julianne. You know, there was a shock factor when she came on against England and France, but she's been the key player for the last few games, so they're going to have their homework done there. So we need Denise joining in. We need to be able to release the wing backs again, and that comes down to making the pitch a little bit smaller and allowing that freedom. And just the discipline there in the centre mid then to allow the more attack-minded players to go at Wales. So we do need to go at them at some point if we're going to win it. Maybe not in the first leg, but it has to be a feature of our game. You don't get anywhere by drawing at this stage.
Sadly not. And I don't think any of us want to go through stress of added time or penalties or anything like that either.
Kick-off's too late for added time.
Exactly.
Too tired.
You mentioned there about like the space between the back line and the midfield being one of the issues that we had, and I know, you know, you were kind of chatting about different ways that it could be fixed there and it could line up, but like do you think that work has been done over the last however many months since that game? Was it February, March?
Yeah, I think it all comes down to personnel. I think it has been hard just with injuries to nail that down, but if you look at the options we have there now, you've got Megan Connolly back, you've got Rusha back, you've got Lily Ag fit, you've got Jessie Stapleton, who has experience there now. I've played there, so in a way it's, and Jamie's played there, it's, if you're disciplined and if you're fit, it's an easy enough position to play. You just have to know your space. And so if you have maturity and you have the instruction and you have the confidence and that relationship with your backline, any one of those players is good enough to step in and do that job. It's just a matter of concentration and confidence in your play and being willing to take it off the back line and to take instruction well and just being able to just run and run and run. So it's not that they're going to have had a huge amount of time on the playing field, but I think in terms of the individuals we have there and the general confidence around the squad and in the back line and in your goalkeeper, that makes such a difference in that position to have that. I think, I think whoever is selected there has been given a vote of confidence by Eileen because there's quite a lot of competition. I left Tyler out of that as well. So they should be going in there being like, well, I want to keep my place for the second leg. So there's no point in going into myself. I have to just show what I can do and make a mark.
Jamie, what are your thoughts on that as someone who also has experience there?
Yeah, I would agree what Karen said there. Like, you've, what, four or five options there to come into that role. Yeah, it's just about if we play a three in there, like a 5-3-2 or four at the back, and then do you play two sitting? Yeah, I don't know. You'll have to wait and see tomorrow. But the options are there. The talent is there. And it's just like what Karen said, it's all about taking on board the communication from the back line. And that's just going to be so vital. And again, if it's a back three of the centre backs, like, That's all in the centre position is so important to give that information into midfield, whether that's Fahy or Anna Patton. Yeah, who knows? But I think the experience is definitely there. And you just need to, if you get the nod for this game, you obviously get the nod for a reason and you need to go in with confidence.
You guys are slowly getting me more excited for this game as you're talking about it, and I can feel my confidence rising, which is always a scary proposition. Scarlett, if you're... You know, Eileen, you're preparing for this game tomorrow. You obviously want to show Wales what we're worth, but you also don't want to show too much of a hand before Tuesday. How are you going about it?
Well, I think you have to focus on the game in hand at the same time. I know we're saying that we need to go and get a result tomorrow rather than a win. Like, obviously, the second game's probably the one that we can really go at, but we still need to put everything into tomorrow's game. I don't think that Eileen will for a second underestimate this side of the leg and say, right, okay, we're going to hold back a bit. We're not going to show our cards. You have to go for it because there's no space in this for regrets. It's two games, but it can be over very quickly. Like, if they take a 2-0 lead like they did against us in February, like, I don't know if we can overturn that. Then they'll show up second leg very defensive, and all of a sudden we're so on the back foot. So I think we just need to go for it. Like, as Jamie and Karen are saying there, like, there's no holding back. You just have to go out and express yourself and give everything you can. This is a huge opportunity for us. Like, this is back to back major tournaments. It's history, and it's to progress the game in Ireland and to progress our national team. Like, there's really no bigger game than these two. So I don't think there'll be any like sort of hiding your cards and shying away from this. If you're playing tomorrow, you have to go out and not be able to walk off that pitch because you're that knackered or you've given that much to the game. If you have to be stretchered off, that's good enough for me. Like, I think the players there just need to do everything they can tomorrow and Tuesday to get a result.
I think that brings up an interesting point. Going a goal down is not something, and being expected to turn that around is not something that we have really had to do. Obviously, we've gone down against League A teams and we've come back and scored, but not necessarily come back to win the game. And we haven't gone down against any of the League B games. And that's all about mentality, and it's not something we have experience in. So that could be interesting to see how we would react to that situation. And again, it would be an indication of how much we've developed as a team if we could turn something like that around. Hopefully, it's not something we have to face, but I think it adds something interesting just for us to watch out for in terms of where we are at as a team and as a squad and how together they are.
Jamie, if we do go down rather than taking the lead first, what do you think the reaction will be?
I don't think it'll be an ultimately huge negative. If we go into this game and we lose, like, touch wood, hopefully not. But if that's the case, then I do think we have depth in our squad to come back from that. And like we were saying, it's now or never. You need to win the next game, and ultimately you need to show up. Every single person needs to show up and give that for your country if you want to play at a Euros. It's simple as that. But no, I do think hopefully we're not in that position. But if we are, Yeah, I think there's characters in that squad to lift everybody, and obviously we have talent to score goals. It's just like Karen said, it's a mentality of things. Can we score one? Can we score two? And can we keep a momentum flowing when we do? That's the difficult part.
Karen, just kind of a final one, and we've been talking a lot about the collective and the players, but there is obviously the kind of, elephant in the room about Eileen and her contract. And she said last week that there's been no formal conversations, but she's definitely keen to stay on. And then David Carell was talking to Nathan during the week and kind of saying the same, and also just saying that he's been really impressed with the job that she's done. How much of the next two games are going to be definitive of how we view her managerial role? Because I think, I asked a lot of fans this during the week, and there's kind of mixed. People are so happy with how far we've come on, bringing in Julianne, the revelation that's been the great night in Cork against France, and even putting it up to England for a certain amount of time as well. But then this
Ultimately, those games
qualification.
didn't. Ultimately, those games didn't mean anything in terms of the legacy of this football team, and what she will be judged on is these next two games. And maybe that seems short-sighted, but that's the reality of football. The expectation when she took over was that we would qualify for the Euros. If we do not do that, it will cast a negative shadow over where we are. And I don't think that's all down to Eileen. I think after she did a brilliant job of bringing the feel-good factor back to the team, that's not enough, obviously. As a manager, you have to get results and stuff. But if we look at the overall picture, there's a lot riding on this campaign, because after the World Cup, we all spoke, oh, there'll be a bounce, there'll be a bounce, there'll be huge investment, there'll be this, that, and the other. And there wasn't. A lot of what's happening that's good in this country is still laying on the shoulders of these girls and them getting through to major tournaments. And there hasn't even been a huge marketing campaign, I don't feel, around this game, and there should have been. And obviously, we're never going to see that 23s thing materialize until there's government funding or whatever, the home base. That's all dependent on keeping the profile of this team alive. So, more than qualification, it's to do with that, it's to do with future. So, Eileen can only do so much of that, and some of it is beyond her control. But yeah, it back to Eileen. She's obviously done a great job in terms of the squad. They're very happy, happy players. And I think that's huge for international, because you don't have the contact time with them. But at the end of the day, if she doesn't qualify for the Euros, do we reflect and say Eileen was an easy option, and now do we need to go looking elsewhere, or should we give her more time, because some of it has been beyond her control? It's a really big, big question, and you can come at it a few ways. I think on a strictly football thing, yes, failure to qualify is a failure. And ultimately, it always tends to fall back on the manager, whether that's right or wrong.
Yeah, I think the nature of it will make a difference as well. If it's super type games, if it's, nil all tomorrow and then they get a lucky goal or something, or if it's a player mess up or something, like I can see places where if it was something totally out of her control, then it won't cast the same. It will cast a shadow, but maybe not the same sort of shadow. And if we get it tactically totally wrong or something like that. But hopefully that won't happen. And we will be sitting here next Wednesday, all celebrating, going to Switzerland next summer. And we will be all happy and jolly because we deserve that. Guys, thank you very much. Oh, actually, before we go, score predictions for tomorrow. Jamie, you're first on my camera, so you go first.
I'm going to put it out to the universe, 1-0 to Ireland.
Very nice, Scarlett.
Jamie stole my prediction. I'll go with 1-1. I'll go with 1-1. I'll change it.
Okay. Karen, you get the
Bolted
final
on Tuesday.
word.
I have to go different, so.
It's up to you. You can be the deciding factor, or you
2-0.
can. Oh,
Ireland.
wow. She's
Why
going for
not?
it. Yeah.
Yes.
I just
I
assumed
don't know why
Ireland
I'm
when
in
you
this
said
positive mood. This is very unlike me, especially because I actually really,
it.
really rate Wales. I think that they have some really good players and potentially have more players getting more minutes and stuff than us at a high level at the moment. But that's just how I feel.
Well,
I'm
I was
really,
saying,
taking a lot of Lemsip in the last couple of days, I think.
I was saying to someone the other day, it could have possibly been our producer, Emma, but we're basically like Schrodinger's cat at the moment. It could be dead, it could be alive, so we might as well be optimistic
exactly.
about it because
that's,
we don't.
That's, you have nailed it there. Like, that's exactly how I feel. I think it could be blind optimism, but I can't allow the negativity to creep in. I just can't.
We'll go with that for now. Guys, thank you very much. I hope you all enjoy the game. And we will be back before the next game to do a bit of review preview for that final match that will be also important. And the Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. I hope everyone enjoys the game. There'll be lots of coverage across Off the Ball for the rest of today from Eileen and Denise, and also more from this evening show, which I will be on with Owen. We're also going to have Lucy Quinn, which is going to be really interesting to hear about what she thinks ahead of the game. And then I will also be on Off the Ball Breakfast tomorrow and doing some more stuff
busy.
The evening with the show. Busy. I don't need sleep. It's fine. But thank you all for listening, and we will chat to you soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.